Romans chapter 8, and we look especially this morning at verse 6 in Romans chapter 8, where the Apostle Paul says, "The mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace." I have a younger brother who, through the years, drove my father absolutely wild. And I suppose you could assume from that that I didn't drive my father wild at all. But that's not true either. He had some things to say to me also. But at any rate, this younger brother did indeed drive my father absolutely wild. He was one of these fellows who bought a surfboard and went to Florida and lived on the beach. And he went to the University of Florida then and got through all 4 years of college except for one semester of French, which he never took, and so he never graduated from college. And it just drove my father absolutely wild. Why don't you get that other class and graduate from school? "Oh, I don't like it, Dad." And, well, that's the way it was. And I remember one time he visited us in Oklahoma. And you've seen these cars that have been used as pace cars. Camaro with stripes on it, bright white Camaro with bright orange stripes on it, a convertible. And I vividly remember his driving to our house, coming down the street, and the surfboard was hanging out of the back of the car. And he pulled up into the driveway and threw the surfboard into the front yard and unpiled his laundry in the front yard and spread out a towel in the front yard and sat on the towel with a guitar and began to sing, and the neighbors were aghast. "What is going on here? Who is this fellow that you have?" "This is my brother from Florida." And it was just like this. He drove the family wild. And my dad, of course, would always think, "Why doesn't this kid get his head screwed on straight? What seems to be his problem? Why doesn't he think right? He's just all screwed up in the head." And it's strange, isn't it? We laugh at that sort of thing. But it seems to me that this is the type of thing that the Apostle Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. He's talking about how we think and act and what we do. And you say to someone, "Well, they're not in their right mind. Why don't they get their head put on straight?" Paul says, "For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace." And that's interesting. It really is. Because the Apostle Paul is beginning to talk about how we think, how we act, what our emotional makeup actually is. It's this kind of thing. And the New American Standard Version, as it says, "The mind set on the flesh is death, and the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace," really doesn't give us a very good translation of the text. The Apostle Paul is really talking about the mind of the Spirit, the mind of the Spirit, and the mind of the flesh. And he's contrasting the two. And it seems to me that's terribly important for us to understand. The NIV says in verse 6, "The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit of life, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace." Even there, the translation isn't as good as it might be. If you look at verse 27 in Romans chapter 8, it's kind of interesting because we find the very same words there in Verse 27, it says, "And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit." Those are the words, the exact words, which we find in verse 6. The Apostle Paul is talking about the mind of the flesh, the mind of the Spirit. It's not that we take our minds and set them on the Spirit. That's not what Paul is talking about. Sometimes I think that we really believe our minds are some kind of neutral entity which we can take and maneuver at our own wills and set on the Spirit and set on the flesh when we desire. And we take texts like this to support our position. But friends, that's not at all what Paul is talking about. He's talking about the mind which is dominated by the flesh. The mind which is dominated by the Spirit. The mind of the flesh. The mind of the Spirit. The King James Version talks about the carnally minded or the spiritually minded. And perhaps that gets more to the point. And it seems to me, too, that the mind that Paul is talking about here is more than just the thinking apparatus. Because the Apostle Paul has in mind here a whole view of life, a whole perspective on life that we have. And this involves more than our thinking apparatus. It involves how we feel towards others, our emotional involvement with the world and with others, our desires, etc. And what the Apostle Paul is talking about here is really a heart matter. It involves our hearts and who we are, what we think and feel and do. If you look at Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul uses the very same word in Philippians chapter 2 to refer to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Philippians 2:5, he says, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus." The King James Version says, "Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ." You see, we're talking about a whole attitude, a whole mindset, a whole view towards life. A perspective, if you will, upon this life. But now look again at Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. "For the mind of the flesh," Paul says, "is death." What is the flesh, as Paul talks about it? Well, the flesh obviously is more than this flesh that we touch and feel. And the flesh is a lot more than sexual sin. Sometimes when we think of the flesh, we think of just sexual type sins. But it's a lot more than that, too. The Apostle Paul tells us what the deeds of the flesh are in Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, I think this is kind of interesting too. In Galatians 5:19 and following, he says, "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality." Sure, here's the sensuality. And that in part is at least what the flesh is all about. But look at verse 20. "Idolatry, sorcery." Those who are into the New Age movement and into what has been called channeling are involved in the flesh, Paul says. It's sorcery. It's demonology. And what else does Paul say? "Idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy." I want you to note particularly that the Apostle Paul talks about strife and jealousy here as something which is of the flesh. "Outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envyings, drunkenness, carousings." We are amused at young people when they go downtown and drag mane, or whatever we are pleased to call it. Those carousings, what are they? Adults do that too, don't they? They don't go downtown and race up and down in their cars, but they carouse. Things of the flesh, Paul says. Carousings. And things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Here is the flesh. And we're talking about attitudes here, a mindset, how we view life. And Paul says again in Romans chapter 8, verse 6, the mind of the flesh is death. The mind dominated by these things. You know, I've heard of pastors who have gone to visit in homes of their parishioners, and lo and behold, what have they found but pornographic magazines in the homes of those whom they have visited? The flesh. You've been acquainted with people who have a life dominated by anger. I've been around those people, and you try and skirt around them. That's the kind of thing Paul's talking about here. The mind of the flesh. And look at verse 7 in Romans 8. He says, the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God. There's an innate hostility towards God in this mind of the flesh. The Apostle Peter gives us a good example of this. Amazingly enough, in Matthew chapter 16, beginning with verse 21, it says, from that time Jesus Christ began to show His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. And Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him in saying, God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to You. And He turned and said to Peter, get behind Me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to Me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's. Here's the very same word that Paul uses in Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. Your mind is not the mind of God, Jesus seems to be saying to Peter, but the mind of man. And somehow God is excluded from your thinking. And it's interesting because Peter gets hostile with Jesus. God forbid it, Lord. That'll never be. I'd like you to read what Martin Lloyd-Jones says about Peter here. He says, the word translated savorist in the King James Version really means to think. Thou thinkest not the things that be of God. Indeed, it is the very word which is used in this sixth verse of Romans 8. The trouble with you, Peter, said our Lord, in effect, is that your whole mentality is wrong. Your whole way of thinking is wrong. You are not thinking the things of God. You are thinking the things of man, Peter. It seems to say, what is the matter with you? You have just made your great confession, and I told you that flesh and blood had not revealed it unto you, but My Father which is in heaven. Now you are proving that I was right, because when I go on to make a great spiritual statement to you, you turn away. That be far from thee, Lord. Peter, the trouble with you is that you are now thinking not after God, but after men. Your whole outlook, your whole mentality, your whole process of thinking is astray and wrong. Look again at Romans chapter 8, verse 6. For the mind of the flesh is death, Peter says. Here it is, folks. Paul does not say the mind of the flesh leads to death. The Apostle Paul says the mind of the flesh is death. It shows that death is present. And the kind of death that Paul is talking about is a spiritual death. A death in transgressions and sins. A death which is outside of Christ, a spiritual death. The mind of the flesh shows us that death is present. Let me show you how this works, if I may. In James, the 3rd chapter, James makes some interesting observations. In James, the 3rd chapter, verses 14 and 15 and 16, it says, "But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthy, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing." I think of young people when I think of this verse. Young people who are going together, who get jealous when the other fellow or gal talks with someone else. The jealousy raises up its ugly head. It's strange, isn't it? And the strife comes in between those two people. Love is not jealous, Paul says in another place. And I think of problems that arise in churches. Inevitably, if there is a problem in a congregation, in a church, where there is disorder, as James puts it, inevitably there is jealousy. And as the translation puts it, selfish ambition. There are parties vying for power. And it ought not to be. And that's really how it works. It's very simple. It's a mindset in the flesh. And it's a death, Paul says. I'll go back to Romans chapter 8. And again, look at what Paul says. Here's the contrast. The mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. You see, again, we're talking about the mind dominated by the Spirit of the living God. And there's all the difference in the world. The mind dominated by the Spirit of God begins to have the attitudes of Christ. Begins to have the mind of Christ. And how does that work? Well, it seems to me to be very simple. In this book which we have, the Bible, which is inspired by the Spirit of God, we have written for us the mind of Christ. Here is the mind of Christ in this book. How He thinks, how He acts,
how he would live and did live. And our prayer is that this Word of God will be worked into your heart and mind and my heart and mind. That the Holy Spirit of the living God will take this Word and apply it to your heart and life in such a way that slowly but surely your thinking is changed. Your attitudes towards life are changed. Your perspective on life is transformed. I think that's what Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 1. Don't be conformed with this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your whole perspective on life becomes different. And slowly but surely, you take on the mind of the Spirit. That's what it's all about. That's why we're here. Again, an example of this is given to us in Philippians chapter 2, where Paul talks about the mind of Christ. Have this attitude in yourselves, which also was in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant. What is the thinking of Christ? The mind of Christ is the mind of a servant. That's the mind of Christ. The Son of Man has not come into this world to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And we see the Lord Jesus Christ on the night before he was betrayed. The disciples came together. And what did the Lord Jesus do? But he stripped himself and wrapped a towel around himself and took a basin and put water in it. And he knelt down before every one of his disciples and washed their feet. He was a servant. The most menial task he took upon himself. That was his thinking. In a sense, it's the difference between a cowboy and a shepherd. You know what cowboys do, don't you? Cowboys get out and they drive the cattle. They get on their horse or their three-wheeler and they drive the cattle. And sometimes they get out those cattle prods and they poke and they drive and they jab. And those cattle have got to go where they want them to go. The shepherd is not so. The shepherd stands in front of the sheep to lead the sheep. It's a whole different kind of mentality. And it's interesting, isn't it, that the elders of the church are called shepherds. The elders of the church are not cowboys. They don't get behind the congregation and crack the whip so that the congregation goes this way or that way. The elders of the church are called to stand before the congregation and set an example and lead by that example. It's a whole different perspective, a whole different mindset, you see. And that's the kind of thing we're talking about. The mindset of Christ is to be a servant. And that's really part of the mind of the Spirit that Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 8. In verse 6. And unfortunately, you see, we can draw the contrast in a very simple way by saying the mind of the Spirit has a servant attitude. But the mind of the flesh is quite different, is it not? The mind of the flesh wants its own way and pushes for its own way and shoves for its own way. And the contrast is very evident. But again, in Romans chapter 8, verse 6, the mind set on the flesh is death. But the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Notice again that the Apostle Paul does not say the mind of the Spirit leads to life. He says the mind of the Spirit is life. And when the mind of the Spirit is present, it is proof that life is present, that peace is present. That's what Paul is telling us. And there is a matter of assurance which is here. What is this life that Paul is talking about? He's talking about eternal life. And what is eternal life but to know God and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent? There is no longer enmity with God. There is fellowship with God. There is a knowledge of God. And what is this peace that Paul is talking about? It is peace with God. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. What a wonderful thing that is. The mind of the Spirit, Paul says, is life and peace. And folks, if you have the mentality of Christ, and the mind of Christ is being worked into you, you can be assured of the fact that the Spirit of God and His life is at work within you. The Spirit-dominated mind is life and peace. The flesh-dominated mind is death. So where are we this morning? Where are you this morning? What is it that dominates your life? The job, the farm, money, getting out of debt, the promotion that you're looking for, your husband, does he dominate your life? Well, I don't mean that quite as it sounds, I guess. Your wife, does she dominate your life? Thinking about her, that is. The children, we all love our families. But what is the dominant influence in your life? Making an impression on someone else? Is that the dominant theme of your life? Proving yourself to others? Is that the dominant characteristic of your life? That you have to prove yourself all the time? That you have to prove yourself right and others wrong? That's the flesh, folks. That's the mind of the flesh. And if those things are dominating your life, you need to turn to God. You need to seek His forgiveness. And if in an absolute sense the mind of the flesh is dominating your life, you need to come to Jesus Christ. The mind of the flesh is death. It's an evidence of the fact that you are not in Christ, Paul is saying. You need to come to Christ, and your life needs to be changed. You need to repent of those deeds of the flesh, and you need to trust in Jesus Christ. But on the other hand, Paul also says the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Is your life dominated by the Spirit of the living God? Do you love the Scriptures? Do you want those Scriptures applied to your heart and life? Do you love the assembly of God's people? Do you love to enter into worship with the people of God? And is your own relationship with the living God important in your life? Up on top. And you're cultivating that relationship. Is that where you are? The mind of the Spirit is life and peace, Paul says. And I'll tell you what, if this is the case in your life, other things will fall into place. They really will. This is what Christianity is all about. For the mind of the flesh is death, Paul says. But the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, help us to get a hold of what the Apostle Paul says here. And grant, Father, that we will not be deceived, but by your Spirit we will understand exactly where we are. Because God, according to Paul, we can only be on one side or the other, dominated by the flesh or dominated by the Spirit. And God, my prayer is for each one of us here this morning, is that we will be in every way dominated by the Spirit of the living God in all that we do and think. Grant that and hear us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.